शांति शांति ही। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। लास्ट वीक वी सॉ व्हाई भगवान इज गिविंग बुद्धि योगम टू दोज पीपल हु आर मत चित्त एंड मत प्राण एंड बिटवीन देमसेल्व्स परस्परम बोधयंतम कथयंतश्च। दे टॉक अमंगस्ट देमसेल्व्स about the yoga sthiti and the vibhuti sthiti, and they are content and they revel in that. And Bhagwan said he does it only out of compassion. From one side, it is compassion. From the giver's side, it is compassion. From the receiver's side, it is grace. So to just give you an ordinary example, if a person is hungry, then somebody feels compassionate and gives him food. So food becomes grace for a hungry person. Money will become grace for a person who needs money. So whatever I need, if I get that, then it becomes grace. Now, so this, and the person who is giving me is feeling compassion. So the giver, on the side of the giver, there is compassion. On the side of the receiver, it is received as grace. Oh my God, thank God somebody gave me food. I was so hungry. I had not eaten for 2 days. It is grace. Okay. Now, in this case, in Bhagwan's case, he is having compassion towards those, as per the verse, who are mat chitta and mat gat pranaha. So those who have through their minds are constantly thinking about him. So for them, this jnana deepena bhasvata becomes grace. Means what? Means the grace of the Lord comes as buddhi yogam. I told you buddhi yoga is that buddhi which is taking that person towards the Lord. And that is grace. In the case of Arjuna, in these verses, they are already very much devoted to the Lord. Okay. And when you love the Lord, when you are so devoted to the Lord, then his compassion will come and it will appear as grace to you that, oh my God, now I got even more devotion. And now my attention is even more towards the Lord. In the case of Arjuna, what became grace was his sorrow. See, he was very sorrowful. He was delusional and he became very sorrowful. And then the buddhi yoga Bhagwan, he turned towards Bhagwan. So that sorrow became a grace for him. Most of the cases, what we think when we get sorrow, immediately we say, why me? We say, why me? We don't think about it. See, when we, the reason that we get sorrow, it is actually Bhagwan's compassion towards us. It is grace for us because Bhagwan is now telling us, please turn towards me. But most of us don't get it. We go dogward. You know, we go the other way, drugs and drinks and this and that and all that, and constantly complaining, why me, why me? But Arjun, and for us spiritual seekers, we must take, if any kind of difficulties come in our life, if any kind of sorrows come in our life, we must take that as Bhagwan's grace. We must take that as an indication that Bhagwan wants us to turn towards him. And then what will happen is Bhagwan can never change the paristhiti. I have told you that. Because the paristhiti means the situation around us has been dictated by our own karmas of the past. But what he will do is jnana deepena bhasvata. He will enlighten us in our mind. Enlighten means not that suddenly we'll get liberation, but we'll have that clarity of thinking. Why this sorrow has been given to me? Why this difficulty has come to me? To make me stronger, to make me spiritually evolve. And that, if it turns into more sadhana, more tapas, it is grace. Okay? In the case of the verses, when he's saying tesham aham anukampa, means tesham here is not referring to us, it is referring to those who are mad prana, mad gat. So if we can do mad chitta, mad gat prana, if we can do that, then buddhi yoga will happen. Our attention will turn towards him. So every difficulty that comes in our life must be taken as a signal from God to turn towards him. If we take that signal correctly, it is grace. Okay? So we must not complain when sorrows come. One thing is we must know that we have done something in our past lives to warrant this situation, and now deal with the situation and try and surrender to the Lord. Okay. So after that, we had a whole bunch of verses by Arjun. I'm not going to go into that. I've explained that. The main thing is Arjun asked for Vistarenatmano Yogam. Tell me in Vistar, in expanse, in details, this Vibhuti by which I can think, constantly think about you. And then Bhagwan said that I will only tell you my prominent ones, my Pradhanyata, my important ones, because otherwise there is no end to my Vibhutis. We could go on till the end of the Kalpa and still Vibhutis will not be over. Okay. Now, from 20 onwards, Bhagwan starts telling his Vibhutis. And let us see where he starts off with. Ahamatma Gudakesha Sarvabhuta Shayasthitaha Ahamadishcha Madhyancha Bhutanamanta Evacha. I am the self, O Gudakesha, seated in the hearts of all beings. I am the beginning, the middle, and also the end of all beings. Where has he started? He has started at the most subtle level within Arjun himself. Arjun has asked, where can I see and, you know, remember you? Bhagwan is saying the first thing to see is look within yourself. Okay, aham atma gudakesha, you. The reason for this is if Bhagwan would have started, okay, now I am there in the temple, in the heaven, in here, there, then what would have happened is Arjun would have started objectifying. Because if somebody told me God is over there, then I'm going to look there, I'm going to look for a form. I'm objectifying it. And God is not objectifiable. He is not seen. He cannot be seen by the senses. So therefore, the first instruction is that he's within us, which means we have to become introverted. We have to start understanding God subjectively as our own self. That is the indication. That's why he's starting at the most subtle level. He's starting. He'll start from the subtle and go into the gross and the gross and the grosser, grosser, grosser. So Ahamatma Gudakesha. Gudakesha is a name used for Arjun. And Gudakesha means one who has conquered sleep. It is said that Arjun could function absolutely. I mean, we will also function a few days without sleep, but our functioning will not be 100%. But it is said that Arjun was one who had really conquered his sleep. So he could function absolutely normally, even if there was no sleep. So agrahanam is sleep, is the deep sleep state. Agrahanam is grasping. Agrahanam means where we do not grasp anything, means where we do not see anything, feel anything, hear anything, know anything. In deep sleep, we don't know who we are, where we are, whether we have worries or not, whether we have job or not, money or not, nothing we know, where we are sleeping, etc. Agrahanam. The dream state is anyatha grahana, means we are seeing something different in the dream. We are seeing something. And then the waking state is grahanam, because that you are waking. So now Gudakesha indicates to us that Arjun was extremely alert. It didn't matter whether he had rested or not, whether he had slept or not. He was extremely alert. So the Gudakesha word indicates adhikari, adhikaritva, the qualification that is required to listen to Bhagwan or understand Bhagwan is alertness. We have to listen with full alertness. Okay. Aham Atma. I am your own self. Atma is what? Self. I'm your own self. Sarva bhuta ashaya sthitaha. How am I your atma? Sarva bhuta, sarva all, bhuta beings, all beings. Then the next word is ashaya, which is the important word that we have to understand. Sthitaha is staying. I am the self in all beings by staying in ashaya of all the beings. So we need to only understand ashaya. What is ashaya? Ashaya means samskara samuha. Samuha is a collection. Samskaras are vasanas. So when you look at the BMI chart, the V, that V, which is very, very subtle, because even I don't know my vasanas. I know my mind, nobody else knows, but I myself don't know my vasa. So it is the causal level, it is a very subtle level, and that's where Bhagwan is now starting. That is my vibhuti. So let us understand this. So what he is basically saying is that I am sthitaha, I am staying in the vasanas of all beings. Okay, so let's take an example, simple example from our kitchen. We have a foil, aluminum foil is there, which is very smooth and shiny. Now, if I take a coin and I just press it into that foil, that it will give an indent, na? An impression will come on that foil. So the vasana is like that impression on the foil, which is the supreme reality. That is how that vasana is. Therefore, Bhagwan is saying, so now in that, even if I take many coins and put indents, all those indents are what? They're nothing but the foil. They are on the foil. Nah? That impression is on the foil. So they are all aluminum foil only. Same way Bhagwan here is he's saying, I am in the vasanas. Means what? Those vasanas are coming from me only. Where is that impression coming from? From the foil. From the foil. So Ashaya, Sarva Bhuta, I stay. Now, how is that his vibhuti? Vasana, toh we don't even know our own vasana. So when that vasana becomes a thought, we will come to know. If it appears as a desire, if it appears as a thought, it could be a thought of anger. Anger might come because we might have anger vasanas. We might have lust vasanas, passion vasanas, whatever vasanas that we have, we won't know. But when they appear in the mind, then you'll know, oh, I have this vasana. So that thought, when any thought comes into the mind, if we can turn our attention to the source of that thought rather than run with the thought, because most of the time what we do is what we run with the thought. We get angry and then we blurt out something. We are happy, then we are all screaming, telling everybody. We are sad, then we start crying. But instead of that, if we say, what is the source of this thought? If we can counter that thought with saying, wait a minute, instead of running with this thought, that's why we are told when you're angry, count to 10. Like when you're angry, we have the ladder of fall, which Bhagwan has given. So when you're angry, you'll get delusional. You won't know what you're saying or not. And then you'll say something which you'll regret later. Instead of running with that way, you stop and you say, where is this thought coming from? And the answer is vasana. Because no thought can come into our mind unless there is a corresponding vasana at that causal level. That's why it's called the causal body. It causes birth, it causes body, mind, intellect, all is caused by it. The thoughts in the mind are also caused by that vasana level, the V. So if we can turn our attention to what is the source of this thought, we will reach vasana. And Bhagwan here is saying, I am that vasana. That means we will think of him. Therefore, that vasana itself, that thought itself is now vibhuti. It is subtle, but it is vibhuti. And if we go back to the source, then that is the yoga sthiti of Bhagwan. Okay? Sarva bhuta ashaya sthitaha. He has started with the subtlest of matter within us, which is the vasanas. After that, it's him only. After that, it's om. Right? So he says, I am there. So whatever thought comes, you this thing. With sleep or dream, if we are very sattvic, when the mind is very calm, there will be no dreams. When the mind is rajasic, then that is when dreams come. So person who is having a lot of dreams, or sometimes there are periods when somebody will sleep throughout the night without any dreams, so suddenly the dreams start, then you know that there is some sort of rajas is there. Dreams will come out of rajas. Dreams don't come out of sattva. Tamas also, they don't come out. Rajas will create dreams. Okay, so this is to be understood about vasanas. Now, when we have that foil, okay? We have made those impressions with the coin. Now, I want to remove those impressions. What I would do is basically I might try and iron the foil or, you know, smoothen it out, right? Because if vasana is an indent impression in the supreme consciousness, if we remove the vasana, what will remain is only supreme consciousness. How do I get my smooth foil back? All somebody has gone and put these impressions of whatever the coin or whatever, whatever. How do I reach that foil, that clear foil again? How do I reach the supreme reality? The answer would be to dissolve the vasanas. And there are two ways of dissolving vasanas, negating vasanas. The vasana will appear as a thought, at which time it will become manifest to you. And at once it becomes manifest, each one of us has a choice. Do I act on this thought or do I not act on this thought? The choice will depend on what type of a thought it is. If it is a good thought, if it is telling you, yeah, go for class, sit and read, you act it out. If it is telling you, you know what, let's go for a movie, forget the studies. If it is take anything that is taking you away from your spiritual path, that sort of those sort of thoughts you need to neutralize. If you neutralize them in your mind, that particular vasana will get weaker and weaker each time. See, vasana is not such that once the thought came and you didn't act upon it, then that vasana is gone. Depending on the strength of the vasana, those thoughts will appear. But each time if you negate, then that vasana is becoming weaker up to a point where it will not erupt as a thought anymore. That particular vasana is only one vasana. There's millions of vasanas that we probably are harboring. We don't know even what kind of vasanas we are harboring. Because only we, unless it comes as a thought, we don't know. So the one way is to dissolve the thought itself, not take it into action, because the thing is vasana, thought, action at the body level. The other thing is you can act it out. Suppose a thought comes and yeah, I want to go for a movie or I want to go for a party or whatever I want to do. I want to go do shopping. Then shopping may be required. It's not like every time we are doing just shopping for no reason. You know, sometimes it is necessary also. We can act it out. But when we act out that particular thought, don't let it breed. Means I go for a movie. I can see it, enjoy it also. Not that I don't enjoy, but forget about it. The minute I come out of the theater, I should forget. But what we do is we don't forget. That is the preview I've seen. Now, when that movie will release, I better go check Google. I better go check YouTube. I better go check the preview. When they breed more thoughts, you're creating more vasanas. So what happens is when it is acted out, that is the downfall of acting out a vasana. Because, you know, you can act out, and then finally they wear off. Also, that also can happen. But chances are that you will create more vasanas in that acting out. There's more chance of creating more vasana. But if you really neutralize the thought at the thought level itself, then there is no chance of them breeding. Like I said, we don't know how strong the vasana is also. We don't know what vasana is though, and we don't know its strength. So depending on the strength, that same thought might come again a few days later. Again, you do the same thing. That is purushartha. That is self-effort. That is where effort is required. Okay? So because it's a negative thought, you keep on neutralizing it in the mind. And that way you will weaken the vasana to a point where it will not erupt again. All right? Even if it erupts, that time it will be very easy for you to say that, you know what, I'm not going to do this. Because it's not going to agitate you. The strength is not there anymore. You know? Okay? And that's when you can neutralize those vasanas, what will remain is that foil. What will remain is the supreme reality. That's what he's saying. I am the Atma. I am the self of everybody. All Sarva Bhuta Ashaya. By being in the vasanas. Vasanas are in me. Thought is in him. Mind is in him. So if we can turn our attention, then we have understood Vibhuti and we have understood his yoga sthiti. From Vibhuti, thought is a vibhuti because it is manifest. From there, we are going to yoga sthiti, which is unmanifest. Then he says, if the other thing is aham adishcha madhyamcha bhutanam anta evacha. So I am the beginning, the middle, and the end. One way of understanding this, I told you how Ishvara is all pervading, is because he is the material cause of the universe. So when you take a gold chain, whether you touch it in the beginning of the chain or the middle of the chain or the end of the chain, you're touching only gold because gold is the material cause of that chain. So gold can say that I am the beginning, I am the middle, and I am the end of this chain. Or clay can say I am the beginning, middle, and end of this pot. Because no matter where, because it is all, it's pervading that object as its own material. So if we look at creation, all material, all objects are made up of the same material, which are the Pancha Mahabhutas. So if they, all of them are made of the same five elements, and those elements have come from Ishvara or Maya, where has Maya come from? Maya has come from pure consciousness. So that way also you can go, and that way also you can think beginning, middle, and end. Okay? Now, this is in line one, he's giving his subjective vibhuti. Thought is inside. It's not manifest to others. It's manifest to me only. My thought is manifest only to me. But so subjectively understand me as your own self. Objectively understand me to be the beginning, the middle, and the end of everything that you see in this universe. Okay? Line one, subjective. Line two, objective. Then, Aditya namaham Vishnuhu, Jyotisham Raviranshuman, Marichir Marutamasmi, Nakshatranamaham Shashi. Among the 12 Adityas, I am the Vishnu. Among luminaries, the radiant sun. I am Marichi among the Maruts. Among asterisms, the moon am I. Adityanam aham Vishnuhu. The first thing to understand here is Vishnu doesn't mean the Vishnu who is lying on the Sheshanaga. Number one, okay? That's not that Vishnu. What he is talking about is Vaman Bhagwan. You would have heard the name of Vaman, the Batu, the little kid. Now let us see what this Aditya, among the Adityas, who are these Adityas we have to see. All these stories now will be from Bhagavad Puran. Okay, from here on now the story starts. So it's pretty simple. So Adityas, Kashyap Muni had two wives, Diti and Aditi. Kashyap Muni was entrusted with the creation of this universe. Creation means what? Universe you can create, but people have to be there. Na? So progeny. So all the rishis at that time, that's the reason that they were married, because they needed to create people. So they had two, he had two wives, Diti and Aditi. Diti gave birth to the Daityas and Aditi gave birth to the Adityas. And here Gurudev himself has written there are 12 Adityas. Okay. Daityas are also known as Asuras, and Asuras, the break of the word is Asusu Ramante Iti Asura. Means what? Daityas are those who are very much identified with their body, and one who is identified with the body will always see differences. When I look at myself as a body, no, none of you can be same as me. Right? So that is Daitya. Daitya means not like they're bad people. There are Asuras even today. Because anybody who's very much identified with the body is an Asura, is a Daitya. The Adityas, on the other hand, they see the oneness. Okay, Daityas and Adityas. Now, what happened was, in the Daityas, Prahlad's grandson, so Hiranyakashipu's great-grandson was Raja Bali. And Raja Bali was a very brave and valorous king, but he developed pride, ego of his own righteousness. He was very righteous. But that is what the problem is with being very, very good also, that good also can give you ego. Now, And because he was very powerful, he conquered the heavens and he threw all the Adityas out. So they became homeless. Now this Aditi was the mother. Now she saw her children being homeless. What is the mother going to do? She went to Vishnu Bhagwan and she prayed. She said, Bhagwan, my children are being oppressed by Raja Bali. You need to do something. Now Bhagwan has a problem because who are the Daityas? They're the co-brothers, not step-brothers. Father is the same, Kashyap Muni. Father is the same. One wife has given birth to Daityas. One wife has given birth to Adityas. That means they are stepbrothers. Now, Bhagwan has got a problem. So, Bhagwan says, the only way I can handle, manage this situation is if I take birth in your womb. That's the only way. I cannot interfere because among brothers, it will be like. So, I can't. So, I have to become one of you. Then I can say, oh, now we are oppressed. Now, so, Bhagwan tells her that I will come in your womb. You go, you do this vrata, this tapas. And in due time, Vaman Bhagwan comes. Okay, Bhagwan comes as Vaman. He's a, you know, small dwarf, right? Vaman is a dwarf. Now, Raja Bali does this yajna, big, huge yajna. And, you know, he had conquered the heavens and he had conquered the earth. So everything was his. So he had this pride. Whoever can come, all the Brahmins, you know, they can come and they can ask for anything that they want. And I will give. Okay, fine. Vaman Bhagwan goes, cute little, you know, Vaman Bhagwan goes. And Raja Bali says, oh, Bhagwan, what shall I offer you? And Vaman Bhagwan says, oh, only three steps. Now that step is, you know, I don't think it was even as big as my palm. Little, you know, draw foot, three steps. And Raja Bali, because he says, Arey, I've got earth and heavens. What three steps this kid wants? So he pours the water out. I will give you. Shukracharya is his guru. Shukracharya understands. He's the priest. He's the guru. He says, uh-oh. This is trouble. This can't be. If a kid comes and asks for three steps, there is something not right. He tells Raja Bali. He wants him. Don't give. But he has the arrogance of his own righteousness. He says, I have given my word. Now I'm not going to back off. And he pours the water. Let's take. Then Vaman Bhagwan becomes huge, 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 huge. 1 foot covers the entire earth. 2 foot covers the entire heavens. He says, where am I going to put my 3rd foot now? Question. Because you promised me 3 feet. One I covered earth. One I covered heavens. What about the 3rd? He says, put it on my head. Raja Bali. He's a good king, you know. So, and that, his arrogance is crushed there. But Bhagwan's compassion is such, Bhagwan says he pushes him into hell, into the nether world, down into the earth, he pushes him. But he says there, your bodyguard, your personal bodyguard will be me. I will be where? Throughout your tenure in hell, you will every day look at me and you will get liberated at the end of that. So Bhagwan Vishnu is the bodyguard for Raja Bali in hell. Bhagwan went and stayed in hell for him. That is his compassion. That is how compassionate the Lord is. Among this, therefore, Bhagwan says here, Vaman Bhagwan, Vaman is my vibhuti. That is what Vishnu means here. Okay, so that among the Adityas, I am Vaman. Means what? Not that other Adityas are not him. It's not like that. But when you look at Vaman Bhagwan, you need to, this thing. A side story is that when he put his foot in the heavens, immediately they did Paduka Puja, Brahmaji and all. They said, oh my God, this is Bhagwan's foot. They know this is Bhagwan. So they did Paduka Puja and the water that came, that is Ganges. It is said that that is the source of the river Ganges. That's why the Ganges River is considered very, very holy. But that's a side thing. Now, this Vaman can be broken, the word, in two ways. One is Vama, Vama, Na. Vama means crooked. Na means no. Negation, excuse me. There is no crookedness. Vaman Bhagwan, there is no crookedness. That is one meaning. Second meaning is Va. Mana. So, Va separates and Mana on one side. Mana, mind. Va means without. Means no mind. Means transcending the mind. So, when you transcend the mind, the point is, when you transcend the mind, you will reach the supreme reality. You need to transcend the mind, because mind will always objectify, and we want to go to the source of the mind. We do not want to go to the objects. Okay. So among the Adityas, I am Vishnu, which is Vaman Bhagwan. Jyotisham Ravir Anshuman. Anshuman is rays. I am the rays of the sun. See, the sun, we think that the sun is what is illumining this entire universe, right? When we get up in the morning, Atmabodh also, Bhagwan Shankaracharya used that, like the workers, they work, the king's workers, they work when the sun is shining. Means activity goes on once the sun, now at night we'll all go to sleep and then the morning activity will start. And we think that the sun is illumining the world. But what needs to be thought of when we think, oh, sun is so great and he's illumining the entire world. Today it was very nice and sunny in Vancouver, so everybody's very happy. Who is illumining the sun? That is where we need to go. That is Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti is the sun, and we get caught up in the sun. We get caught up in our mind, in our thoughts. We are getting caught up in all these things, in the Vibhuti, and it becomes Vibhuti if we go to the yoga. Otherwise, it is not Vibhuti. See, if my thoughts, if I'm running with my anger thought and happy thought and sad thought and all, what Vibhuti? Because we are not recognizing the presence of the Lord. Vibhuti is meant, all these Vibhutis are being told so that it facilitates us to think about the Lord. So if we don't think about the Lord, it is not Vibhuti then. That's why Bhagwan is saying, think. That is what, when a thought comes, it's coming from Vasana, it's coming from me. Now, same thing with Ravi, with Surya Devata. You think Surya is great, sun is great, it is illumining, etc. Now think, who is illumining the sun? If I think like that, then sun becomes the Vibhuti. And when I answer that, when I get an answer to the question, who is illumining, I am reaching the yoga sthiti. And who actually is illumining is, you know who? Me, myself. Because unless I validate the sun, unless a conscious being validates the sun has no existence. And that is the meaning of that mantra, na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. Nema vidyuto bhanti kutoya magnihi. Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Tvameva means Bhagwan, when you shine, after you, anubhati. Anu is after. First you shine. First I wake up as the Supreme Consciousness. When I wake up and I open my eyes and I look at the sun and I say, it is a sunny day, then the sun comes into existence. Therefore, the existence of the sun depends on me. Me means, with a capital M, means the Supreme Consciousness. And if that thought comes to me on a daily basis, when I look at the sunlight, rather than, whoa, sunlight, now let me go do get some errands done. Let me go run. Let me go do exercise, this, that, and all, then it's gone. But if I can think like this, do whatever in the sun, not that we are asking you to just stay there and just keep, but that thought should come. If that thought comes, then sun becomes the Vibhuti and the consciousness. Then you're going to, from Vibhuti, you're going to the yoga sthiti. I told you, yoga is the substratum. Vibhuti is the manifestation. Okay, the substratum is unmanifest. The Vibhuti is manifest. All right. So that is Ravi. Marichi naam marutam asmi. I am among the maruts. I am Marichi. Marut, first of all, marut. It is marut. The meaning of the word ma is negative. No, no. Rut is cry. So don't cry. Don't cry. That is the meaning. Now the story, as the story goes, I told you Diti and Aditi were the two wives. Diti's sons were Daityas. Now Diti got very, she was very angry with Indra. Indra is Aditya. Indra is the king of the heavens. So she wanted to kill him. She wanted to kill Indra, her stepson. So she went to Kashyap Muni and she did a lot of seva to him. He was doing some yajna, whatever, lot of seva she did. And he became very happy and he said, ask for a boon. Now what boon she asked was, she says, I want a son who can kill Indra. Now Kashyap Muni, now it means his own son, means one wife's child is now going to kill the other wife's child. What can he do? But because he had already given the boon. So he says, okay, I will tell you a vrata to be done, a tapa to be done, but you must not make any mistake in that. If you make a mistake, then this boon is not going to work. She says, no problem. I will not make a mistake. You tell me, I want a son who will kill Indra. Okay, fine. So the vrata is given. Now Indra comes to know about this, that now one son is coming or whoever is coming to kill me. So he, what he does is he becomes like a small child, small means not very small, like a little boy. He goes to Diti and says, you know what, mother, I would like to help you with your vrata. She thinks, okay, innocent child is there, let him stay in the house and let him help me, he will help me. Actually, Indra's plan is to watch, observe what she's doing. Because Indra knows that if she makes one little mistake, that means that boon will not come true. So he's watching her, he's helping her. She makes a mistake. The minute she makes some mistake, he, by his yogic powers, he enters her womb as her fetus. He enters. There already is a fetus in there. She's pregnant, right? So he enters the womb. And what he does is that other fetus, he cuts it into 49 pieces and they start crying, right? So he says, Mar, don't cry. But he does that. I'll tell you the subjective meaning also, but this is the story. So, okay, then there are these 49, fetuses, and then there is this Indra fetus is there. They're all growing together. Now these 49 fetuses, they consider Indra as their own brother. They don't know it is Indra and all their fetus, now, but they're all together in the womb. So she, in due course, gives birth to 50 children. 50. And 49 Maruts, because Indra is telling them, Marut, don't cry. Because they're crying now, they got cut, they're crying. So he says, Marut, don't cry. And then they said, no, he's our brother. How can we kill our brother? We cannot kill our brothers, because she had made a mistake in the vrat, so that boon doesn't work. The thing is that, see, we have five pranas. We know about it, right? Prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. There are 49 sub-pranas in our body as well. There are 49 pranas in the outside air also. And there are 49 pranas within us. And they are all controlling the physiological functions of the body. In that verse, Madgat Pranaha, I told you, what does it mean, put your pranas in me? Means make the pranas as a vibhuti. If all your pranas are working properly, your body is working properly. All five, for the body to function normally, all five have to really be normal. Because you cannot say, I can breathe, but today now I'm not. The samana vayu is not working, digestion is not happening. Is only breathing enough if you can't eat anything and you can't digest anything? Or you're digesting food very well, now you can't breathe. That means prana and apana vayus are affected, then you can't. So all five, if they're normal, your body will. So if your body is normal, you get up in the morning and your body is normal, you thank the Lord. That is going to, that then the pranas are becoming vibhuti. So here what he's saying, so there are these 49, they're the marut gana. 49 marut gana, those 49 sub pranas. And marichi, what is marichi among them? Marichi means strength. So marichi is their collective strength. And that is what Bhagwan is saying. I am behind them. That is why when they function correctly in your body and your body is absolutely normal, you must thank me or remember me. Bhagavan is not saying thank, but remember me. That's why this Mari, he says, I am the strength among these 49 Marutganas, which are functioning as 49 sub-pranas in your body. Okay? So, pranas, as long as the physiological functions are doing well, remember it is Bhagwan's grace. Because he can withdraw that strength at any time. We see that happening, right? One strength, one he withdraws, whole body is going to be shaking. Nakshatranam aham Shashi. So among the asterisms or stars, nakshatra stars, moon is not actually a star, but among the asterisms, even I'm not very sure what asterisms Gurudev means, but anyway, he is the moon. And the reason he says he is the moon, see the seeds, when the crops come, the seeds have to be exposed to moonlight. One name of moon in Sanskrit is Sudhaushu. Sudhaushu, Sudha means nectar. Ausha means, again, rays, Sudhaushu. You know, so these moon rays have nectar in them. And the seeds, that is a fact, huh? The seeds, the farmers, apparently they expose the seeds to this moonlight. Then the nourishment comes in the seeds. And when they are planted, that nourishment comes into the plants. And so the food that we eat, see, food also is sattva, rajas and tamas. There is sattvic aspect, rajasic and then tamasic aspect. The tamasic aspect of the food goes into the bones and the physical body. Because see, how do we feed the mind is by food only. There is not a separate, of course, there is the knowledge aspect is there, but food is required even for the knowledge to go in. If for 15 days you don't eat food, you won't remember what you had studied. In Chandogya Upanishad, it comes, Brahmanaraka also it comes. Uddhalaka, who is the teacher and the father of Shvetaketu, he's explaining to Shvetaketu how mind is matter. Why is mind matter? Why is mind not supreme consciousness? So he tells, Shvetaketu is very well versed in the Vedas. So one day he says, okay, now chant the Vedas. And Shvetaketu, dhra, 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 he chants. Then he says, from today for 15 days, you will only drink water. You will not eat food. So Shvetaketu, it's his father also, guru also, he says, okay. He drinks water, he's 15 days. After 15 days, father says, chant the Vedas. And he can't. And he can't. He forgets. So that's what the guru tells him, that look, food is what is supporting the mind. You were so good at chanting the Vedas, only 15 days before. What happened in 15 days is that we cut out your food. So what is happening with the food is that the tamasic aspect is going into the bones and the muscles and the blood and everything. The rajasic aspect is going into the pranas. Because why? Pranas are the active force. And the sattvic aspect is going into the mind. So the food that we eat, that's why it has to be nutritious. It is our experience. You know, if you eat heavy, oily food, have drinks with it, how you will feel sluggish and all that. What effect will it have on the mind, right? So this food, the sattva from the food, the nutrition from the food is coming from the moon because the seeds have already been so exposed to the moon. So therefore Bhagwan says, I am the moon. So now when you eat food, you must remember the moon. We don't remember anybody. When food comes in front, we are so hungry. Tada, tada, we'll eat and, oh, let me get the dishes done so I can go watch TV. But if we can wait, think for a minute and say, thank you, Lord. This food has this nutrition, just come from the moon. And you are the moon. You are behind the moon. You have reached from food, which is vibhuti, to that yoga sthiti. Or if you look at the moon and instead of saying, what a beautiful moon and why there is no moon today, if you say, oh, yeah, this is the moon that is giving me the nutrition which I'm eating through my food. Okay, that's why. Now, when you take these two verses together, see the 20th verse, Sarva Bhuta Ashaya, causal level. Bhagwan is talking about his vibhuti at the causal body level, right? Vasanas. This Vaman Bhagwan represents mind and intellect. So he's now from subtlest, he's coming to subtle, but grosser than the previous one. So 20 is causal body, causal state. And mind, Vishnu means Vaman Bhagwan is mind intellect. So little bit grosser. Ravi, Surya Devata, representing the sense organs. Why? Because the controller of the eyes, the deity of the eyes is sun. sun, in only light eyes can see. So the deity of the eyes is sun. So when he talks about sun, we have to take all the sense organs. So from the mind intellect, now he has become even more grosser. He's into the senses. Okay. When he says Marichi, he's talking about the pranas. Senses, Golakas, then the pranas, which are even more grosser. And then Shashi, by talking about Shashi, he's now becoming into food, which is now supporting the body level. So from the subtlest, he's coming out. Slowly, 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 he's coming out into the gross. Okay? Understand it like in the totality. All right, next one.
Vedanam samavedosmi, devanam asmi vasavah, indriyanam manaschasmi, bhutanam asmi chetana.
Among the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. I am Vasava among the gods. Among the senses, I am the mind, and I am the intelligence among living beings. So there are the four Vedas I told you. Rigs, Yajur, Sama, and Yatharva, and Sama and Atharva Veda. He says, I'm Sama Veda. Why is he saying he's Sama Veda? So in the Rig Veda, it is said that the Rig Veda represents the Vaishyas. See, we have the four Varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, right? So this Rig, in the Rig Veda itself, it is said that Rig Veda, is the Vaishyas. Okay, it represents the Vaishyas. The Yajur Veda represents the Kshatriyas, and the Sama Veda represents the Brahmins. This was said in the Rig Veda. Now, when we talk of Vaishya, what are the Vaishyas doing? They're keeping the economy. They're the businessmen, na? So they are keeping the economy going. So they represent Satta. Satta means that Sat aspect of that Satchit Ananda. Okay, the Vaishya. So Rig Veda would represent the Sat aspect of Satchit Ananda. Kshatriyas have wealth, means Vaishyas have wealth because they are keeping their businessmen, so they have the wealth. Kshatriyas have wealth, but they also have power. See, Vaishyas don't have power. Kshatriyas are the kings. So they have wealth because the Vaishyas are working for them and they have power. So they represent the chit aspect of that Satchit Ananda, consciousness. So there is in the Vaishyas only wealth, Kshatriyas wealth and power. And then Samaveda representing wealth, power and happiness. Because you may have wealth and you may have power. You have to be happy also. Otherwise, what is the point? So when you are happy, then wealth and power are already included in that. Ananda, representing the Ananda aspect of that Satchit Ananda. So Samaveda has Satchit Ananda all. And therefore, Bhagwan here says, among the Vedas, I am Samaveda. Samaveda is Giti Pradhan. I told you, those mantras can be sung. And when do I sing? When I'm happy. Only in Bollywood films, when they are sad, they sing. Nobody sings in real life when they're sad and crying. Only when we are happy, then we are singing. So Samaveda represents happiness. So it represents the Ananda aspect of that Satchit Ananda. And therefore Bhagwan says that I am Samaveda in the Vedas. Devanamasmi Vasavaha means Indra. Huh? Vasava is another name for Indra Bhagwan. Indra is the king of the Devas in the heavens. Indra is the king of the heavens. And Indra represents, he's the presiding deity of the hands. If you go back to Tattva Bodh, Indra is the presiding deity of the hands. He says, I am that Indra. So the ruler of the heavens, ruler of all the Devas. Please understand that he's pointing out his vibhutis does not mean that he's not there in the other Devas. Huh? He's Samaveda, but doesn't mean he's not in the rig and all that. Not like that. So, Devanam Vasava. Now, this Devas, we say that there are 33 crores of gods, and we are actually Hindus are, you know, kind of laughed at, like, oh God, you have got 33 crores. Now, that misunderstanding we should be removing here. This word koti, because we say 33 koti. And koti is translated as crores. And so people think that we have that many gods. Koti doesn't mean crore, koti means types. So there are 33 types of gods only, 33 only, not 33 crores of gods. That is, we should understand. And what are the 33? There are 12 Rudras, okay? No, there are 12 Adityas, 11 Rudras. I already told you 12 in the previous verse. Among Aditya, he said he's Vishnu, right? Vaman Bhagwan. And there Gurudev only said 12. 12. So 12 Adityas, 11 Rudras, 8 Vasus. There are 8 Vasus and 2 Ashwini Kumars. So 12 Adityas, 11 Rudras. So 12, 22, 23. 23 plus 8 Vasus is 31. And then 2 Ashwini Kumars becomes 33. So that is all the types of gods that we have. I don't have 33 crores. That's a misunderstanding. So among them, he says, I am Indra. Among these types of gods, I am Indra. And who is Indra? He is the king of the heavens and he is the presiding deity of the hands. Indriyanam manashchasmi. Among the Indriyas, again, same idea. I am the mind. Now this idea will continue. The superior most, because he'll say, among all bodies of water, I am Sagar, I am ocean. Because that's the biggest, that way. So he says, I am mind, I am the mind, because we consider mind as the king of the senses. The senses, I told you, they are only limited powers they have. Like eyes can only see color and form, ears can only hear sound, etc., etc. But the mind can see all of them together. So mind sees the color and form, hears the sound, tastes this thing, smells the nose, everything mind understands. All five it understands, but the senses only understand their respective this thing. So that's why he says, I am the mind among the Indriya. So what does it mean to us means, if he is the mind, that means every thought that is going through that mind is him alone. Hana, he's the mind. So then when any kind of thought comes to us, we must only try to be a witness to that thought. There is no reason to feel guilty. That doesn't mean that you purposely go do something wrong and then don't feel guilty. Not like that, huh? But sometimes mistakes happen. We lose our temper or we might make a mistake. We might, you know, jump a red light and scare somebody or whatever. Mistakes happen. So the idea is that if you know that thought, he's the mind, and if that thought that is going through your mind does not leave any residue, what I mean by residue is residue of either guilt or arrogance. Both are residues. Okay, so there might be a very good thought and I'm saying, ah, ha, 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 what a nice thought I had. And now I had, instead of that, if I change the attitude to thank you, Lord, it is because of you that this thought came through me. Then I'm reaching the yoga sthiti. Then that thought is becoming a vibhuti for me. Then the mind is becoming a vibhuti for me. If whatever happens in the mind, senses, body, it does not remind us of God, then it is not becoming a vibhuti for us. That is the whole purpose of this chapter, that no matter what you see, that's why he said, vasanas, if you take the vasanas, I am there. If you take the objects of the world, I am there. If you say Vaman Bhagwan, I am there. If you say this, I am there. I am there. I am there. I am there. This is what he's now doing, telling Arjun, because Arjun said, tell me your all your manifestations. Okay? So, Indriyana Manashchasmi, Bhutanam Asmi Chetana. Chetana means life. Chetas, na? Chetas. Gurudev has translated it as intelligence, but intelligence is also coming from life. What should be understood about this life is that life is an expression of the Supreme Consciousness. Life is not Supreme Consciousness. People think that, you know, that living being, life is what consciousness is. There is a little difference, because if you say that life is consciousness, then when life goes away from a body, then is there no consciousness in that body? If we say that there is no consciousness in the in a dead body, we are negating Shruti's pramana, Shruti Vakya, that it is all pervading. So what? There is consciousness up to where the body is, and the body is here, so there's no consciousness here, and then the consciousness starts again. It negates. So that's why this life must not be mistaken to be consciousness. Life should be understood as one of the expressions of the Satchit Ananda principle, the God principle. Okay. Happiness also is one of the aspects. Existence also is one of the aspects. Through the Annamaya Kosha, it expresses as existence only. Supreme consciousness expresses as existence in the Annamaya Kosha. In the Pranamaya Kosha, it expresses as existence and activity. In the Manomaya Kosha, it expresses as existence, activity, and knowledge. Because mind is the one that knows. Pranas don't know. Body doesn't know. Mind knows. Mind knows that I'm happy. Mind knows that I'm sad. I'm depressed. Whatever it is. Mind knows that my eyes can't see very clearly, or I can't walk very fast. All that mind knows, body doesn't know. And through the intelligence, the supreme consciousness expresses as existence, activity, knowledge, and doership. So when I say I did it, I did this, I did not do that, I feel guilty, that I, which is the ego, small I, is coming from the Vijnanamaya Kosha. Okay, so life must be understood as an expression. Now, this chetana, it expresses as both the knower and the known. In Updesh Sar, Bhagwan Ravan Maharshi uses the word drishyavaritam. Drishyavaritam means drishya is seen. So out, varitam is to remove, without. So forget the outside objects. Inside, now we're talking inside. So chetana, this life, expresses, it itself expresses as I, the knower, aham, and idam, the known. Are you getting this? This is a bit subtle. Because there is only one consciousness. There's only one consciousness. There's no two different consciousness. So the consciousness which is supporting the knower, the I, the aham thought, is the same consciousness which is supporting the idam thought. What is idam? I am happy. In I am happy, I is aham, happy is idam. I see you, I am aham, you are idam. Aham and idam thoughts are there, two kinds of thoughts. Who is supporting both these thoughts? It is the supreme consciousness alone. Because there are no two separate supreme consciousnesses that are, one is supporting the aham thought, one is supporting the idam thought. It is not like that. It is the same chetana expressing as I, and it is the same chetana that is expressing as the form, because that thought has a form. So when you remove that form, what remains, what is the understanding that comes, there is only that one consciousness. That is what I am, and that is what this entire world is supported by. And this is why he says, among the bhutas, among the beings, among the living beings, I am, even among inert objects, he is there as existence principle. Okay, so that is there. But bhutanam here doesn't, bhuta here doesn't include inert. I am chetana. Chetana means he's, it's life. Chetas, chit. It's coming from the, all those words are the, you know, similar meaning. So life, the expression of life among these is me. So when you see any living being, we salute to the consciousness in them, not to the form. That is what, that is the, if I can see the consciousness in the other person, generally I don't, I only see the form, then that also, then I will superimpose my friend, enemy, or she never said hello to me last time, and she never smiled at me, and he never did this, and he, instead of that, if I can see the consciousness, then that is becoming his vibhuti. Anything that will remind you of the Lord becomes vibhuti. Okay? All right. So we will stop here now and we'll continue next time from in verse 23. Any questions? As we go further in this chapter, it'll become faster because there is not then that much. These were a bit elaborated stories.
Jaya
Any
ji, can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
So when we talk about idam, we think about the things around us as objects as also idam, right? So what you said that when you it is the same consciousness that is pervading the aham thought, aham aspect of the thought as well as the idam.
Correct.
Object that is also a thought, that's an idam thought.
Yes.
And it's the same consciousness that is
Yes.
manifesting.
Yes. Yes. Because if you say that this computer is in front of me, that is an object, that is the idam. If that idam is being supported by some other consciousness, who is supporting this? Who is saying that there is a computer in front of me? Who is saying? I am saying. Correct? Same idea like the Surya, that sun I told you. Who is validating the sun? Who is validating the computer? Is me, because I'm sitting in front of the computer. So who am I? Aham Atma Gudakesha. Bhagwan said, I am within you, I am inside of you. So that is why we say that the chetana, that the consciousness which is within me, that same consciousness is supporting anything that is in front of me. So idam can be outside, but thought also is idam, please understand. Because I can witness my own thought. I can see my thought. That point, people think I am the thought. That is where the mistake is. It's a big mistake. That's why I'm depressed. Finished. They don't say that I know that my mind is in depression. That is the correct statement. I know that my mind, because I am not the mind. Mind is going into depression. I can never go into depression. And so the correct line is I know that my mind is depressed today. My mind is happy today. Therefore, Gurudev has given another, instead of saying I am angry, we must say anger is rising within me. And who is supporting that anger? Me only. I am supporting. That is understanding that. Is knowing the vibhuti. Okay?
Thank you.
If you think about it, it's simple. Yes. Any other questions?
Yeah, ji, I have one question
Yeah.
from the last class. Can you explain how exactly karma leads to purification of mind?
Karma, what? I didn't hear.
Karma leads to purification of mind.
Oh, karma leads to yeah. Karma, when done with a certain attitude, will lead to purification of mind. So the attitudes are, if you do every action as a duty, what happens is when it is my duty to do it, I don't say I don't like it, I won't do it. Or I like this, so I will do it. It is my duty to get up in the middle of the night and look after my baby. Now I'm not bringing likes and dislikes into it, am I? So what happens is when you do it as a duty, you get rid of likes and dislikes. Or then if you do it as Ishwar Arpitam, surrender to the Lord. So I am the Lord's servant. See, example is, it's my servant. I told him, you go to this thing and you do this. Now buy something. Now that servant, if he puts his own mind, oh, but this is not on sale here, let me go there. No, my job is, I've been told, I am the servant of the Lord. I've been told to go to this shop and buy this thing, no matter what cost it is. I am relieved of all my agitations. Nah? If I'm buying for myself, I'm like, oh, that it would have been on sale over there and I would have gotten it cheaper over there. So that agitation is removed. So when karma yoga is performed, all these agitations are removed. So there is sense of duty. There is sense of surrender. There is sense of asangata. See, asangata is very important. People get attached to the work that they're doing. And then when they're asked to give up that work, it becomes a huge problem. There is agitation. What is a pure mind? No agitation at all. That is a pure mind. And agitation will come if there is likes or dislikes. Likes and dislikes will come when I'm attached. if I'm teaching now and I'm attached to this teaching position, and suppose tomorrow some other Swamiji is posted here or there in Calgary, and they say, okay, Jaya, you need not take class. I shouldn't feel, oh, now, no, I shouldn't complain. If I complain, then this thing is not karma yoga that I'm doing. Then it is only karma. That is how karma converted to karma yoga will purify the mind. If karma is done with doership, I like it, so I'm doing it. I do this thing, I will do. There are people, you know, they like the person, they do. Otherwise, they don't do also. Swamijis I see here in the mission, they like the Swami, they will work. Otherwise, they will not work for others. Are I am sick and tired to tell you, it's Gurudev, not, no personal things in the Swamis there should be. Otherwise, this Swami comes, then there are people who are all there working. That Swami comes, nobody is there. It shouldn't be like that. So if the surrender is only to Gurudev, then it doesn't matter who comes. They're all sparks of the same fire. Right? Whatever I would have done for Gurudev or Guruji, I must be able to do it for all other Swamijis. That is how it becomes karma yoga, and that is how it purifies. Otherwise, it will not purify. So there is a sense of duty, kartavya buddhi, asangata, so sense of detachment. Then there is samarpan buddhi, surrender, sense of surrender should be there. Then there is prasad buddhi, so whatever result comes should be accepted. And there should be samatva buddhi. Samatva buddhi means equanimity while doing the action and when the result comes. Because an action is done which will dictate a result, because that is the law of karma. So when that result comes also, I shouldn't go like, or cry, and you know, like I didn't get what. So there also there has to be equanimity. So unless there is equanimity while doing the action, and equanimity is what? Not that I don't like this, so I will not do this. Like tomorrow if you tell me take, but I don't like chapter 11. I don't want to take 11. Forget 11. Now let's do 12. That is not correct. I cannot say that. It is my duty.
Duty.
If I say that, no, like, maybe I might not like chapter. No, there's nothing. Bhagavad Gita is my favorite. No, I shouldn't say that. But I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If I say, ke, nahi, kya bhi, 11 mein there is nothing. Yeah. Let's just go to 12, bhakti yoga. Then, no. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. That is how it will purify.
Go above light and this.
Yes, very much. Very much. That's why you must consider, even when you eat, you must consider it is my duty to my body. So it's not, I like this, I don't like this. See, people, this. No. You shouldn't do that. Whatever is good, you eat. Not that we are telling you, oh, it's poison, now you eat. Not like that. But, you know, not like little things. This is, it's prasad. So what you do is you superimpose the idea of prasad on food. You will never criticize food. In the temple, when you go and they give you prasad, do you say, oh, I don't like this fruit, now give me that fruit? You say, oh, prasad, then you'll eat it. Whatever is there, you will eat. Whether you like that fruit or not, you will eat, right? Because when you superimpose prasad, so in this food also that we eat, or whatever work, okay, this is a job that Gurudev has given me, or Guruji has given me, or God has given me. Now I'm a servant. Seva is coming from servant. Sevak. So when you become a sevak and not a doer, your mind is getting purified. Yeah. That I'm doing, I've been told to do this. I've been told to teach. I'm teaching. Finish. Nothing more, nothing less either. Like not like, oh yeah, who cares? Let me just do a whatever job. Not like that also. I should do it to the best of my ability. You know, whatever is my best, I should give. If you guys don't understand it, then it's like, but I have given my best. When I teach, I should give my best. Not like, oh, who cares? You know, the Guruji just told me to teach, so I'm not teaching. Not like that. Work should not be done like that. Okay, then it'll purify. And purification means your mind will be much calmer. It'll be calm. C-A-L-M.
Yeah.
Not A-M-A. It'll quieten down. There'll be a calmness in the mind. That is what we are looking for. Because in that calm mind, this knowledge will be understood clearly. That's why. Otherwise, we might think, why should I have a calm mind? Because of that. Understanding will be better.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
So we'll meet next time. We'll continue. Like I said, it will go faster. We have now almost completed half the chapter. So we should be able to finish. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnamidam.